Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us. And I always laugh when I say this evening, because where I am, it's Thursday evening, but you could be listening to this anytime, anywhere, and that's really exciting that people all over the world tune in. So my guest tonight, speaking of exciting, is Rebecca Gamble, who has an extraordinary personal story and how that led her to doing the amazing healing work she's doing. So we'll be talking to her in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I'm going to talk about closets, but I'm going to take a circular route to the closet. There is a basic principle of metaphysics, probably only the second most important statement of metaphysics, which is as above, so below, as within, so without. And people usually trace that back 3,000 years to the Emerald Tablets. But what it's got layer upon layer of meaning, but what it's saying is that what appears to be going on in your life in the physical world is a manifestation of things that are going on inside you on another level. And you may not be aware of them in any conscious way, but if you're seeing it in your life, if you're seeing it presented in the play that is the story that you live in, then it's there. And you can read some of what's going on for you internally and therefore have access to it and be able to heal it by looking at what's going on outside. So what does this have to do with closets? I wish I could find out who originally said this, but somebody said, if you want to grow spiritually, clean out your closets. Now, why? That's kind of an odd thing to say, except if you look at it from the perspective of as above, so below. Closets and attics and garages and all the places that the boxes that are full of stuff that you don't know what to do with, all those places you keep that stuff are the places that are the symbols of the stuff inside of you and your consciousness that you can't deal with and that you're hiding. So I actually got really good at it. Every time I moved, I would watch where there's always a box when you move, or a bunch of boxes, but usually one or two that you can't deal with. You open them up and you go completely brain dead and you go, I can't deal with this. And you close it up again. You do that over and over again and beat yourself up for not being able to deal with it. And the truth is that it's got some emotional charge to it, some emotional content to the stuff that's in it or the circumstances, whatever it is, that you can't deal with yet. So I've posited David's theory of emotional composting, which is that if you let it sit long enough and you return to it periodically to see if you're ready to deal with it, at some point you will open it up and go, Oh, I don't need this, and this goes over here, and oh, I've been looking for this, and you go through it, and really quickly, the stuff finds new places or new homes. Why couldn't you do it right at the moment when you moved? Who knows? Maybe you were overwhelmed from the move. Maybe it was symbolic of what you left behind. Maybe the stuff that was in there is the stuff that you never deal with ever in your life. But the stuff in the bottom of the closet and the top shelf and the attic and all those places that you relegate stuff that you don't look at and you think you don't want to get rid of, but I don't want it in front of me, is in some way symbolic of things that you need to heal within yourself and deal with within yourself. So a friend of mine posted online that she was going through the big closet in her condo, and she was very excited that she was going through decades and decades of old stuff and finding all this stuff that pictures from the family and all kinds of things. And I wrote to her, well, clean out your closets so you can grow spiritually. And that's my suggestion to you today, is look for the things that you haven't been dealing with. Look for the junk that's sitting in the corner. And don't try and figure out what it means exactly, but see if you can deal with it in the physical world. And as you deal with it in the physical world, you will be releasing the energy from whatever it is that it's a placeholder for, a symbol of, whatever energy it's holding. One of the things in many traditions, certainly it's a shamanic way of looking at things, is the idea that you read messages from the land, from the animals, from life itself, from everything that's going on around you. And when you say, well, why did that happen? You're asking a much deeper question than the superficial issue that actually just happened. And that's always there. There's always more layers of meaning. There's always more to know. I'm pretty well known for being a punster. And I tell people that punning is part of my spiritual practice, because it is a way to look at the world in which there are always multiple meanings, and those multiple meanings are funny. And that's really, as far as I can tell, one of the secrets of life. So that's today's metaphysical musing. And now we get to spend some time with Rebecca Gamble, who I am very excited to meet. Thank you so much for being on the show, Rebecca.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we've been chatting back and forth online, and you gave me some information about your background. And, you know, I always ask people for their story, for what the walkabout was. How did you wind up here? But yours is extraordinary. And as we were talking before, you told me how long the story is, so I better just shut up and let you tell it.
Well, it started with me being a very unexpected child to begin with. My mother was already going through the change and did not think she could get pregnant. And when I was born, because of that, it was during a time period where her doctor put a lot of pressure on her to have an abortion, which she didn't want to do. And so when she went into labor and went to actually have me, the doctor didn't give her any medical care. So right from the get-go, it was a very difficult birth. And they ended up having, she had exhaustion and ended up having to use forceps and damaged the bones in my neck and my skull right there at birth, which I also had some problems with toxicity starting out. So I was unwell from the beginning. And then they had me in the incubator, we call it the French fryer, and I wasn't getting better. And my grandmother came to visit, and she was, she had a chance to hold me, even though the nurses had a fit when they found out they took me out of the incubator. And she sang to me and pat me and rocked me, and I got better after that. And they came in and freaked out, put me back in the incubator, but I got better. And I feel like that is a summary of everything. I've had so many medical problems, but really when you look at them, big portion of them came from poor medical treatment I either didn't need or was given to me poorly or whatever. But long story short, I had a very spiritual upbringing. My family was very religious, very Christian. We did a lot of very intense study. There was also a lot of early childhood trauma and things like that, which really, growing up, it was very difficult because as a child, you don't have any understanding of that. But when you get older, especially after you get into things like shamanic work and energy work and things like that, everything makes sense. I have had clients that just had the most bizarre health issues and the most bizarre situations with their families and their romantic partners, etc. And they think that no one can understand, but here they are. They come to someone who's actually been there and has that understanding. And you look back, and no matter how hard it is, it's like you're grateful for it. As far as the health issues, I don't even know how much you want me to talk about that.
Well, enough so that people get the picture of how it led you to learn what you've learned and do what you do.
Okay. Well, when I was small, I had a lot. It started out with digestive issues and toxicity issues. I had a lot of allergies. I had to do a lot of fasting under a doctor's care. So there were a lot of times, which this is very dangerous for children, but where I was on raw vegetable fasts and things like that, which, as you probably know, fasting can be very useful for spiritual work. And that accompanied with, I entered ministerial school when I was 7. With my ministerial training and my spiritual training, I feel drew me very close, much more close to the divine than to the physical. And then when I was, there were a lot of issues, but when I was 16, specifically everything came to a head. I started having some serious heart disease issues, and I started taking these really strange attacks where I was choking and falling over, and it turned out it was autoimmune disease. I had Graves' disease and Hashimoto's disease and a couple other things going on. I was also pre-diabetic, and I had some heart disease going on, and I was missing an enzyme and a whole host of other things. And when we finally got to a doctor who diagnosed everything, she said to me and my mother, you have three options. You can either get surgery and have the thyroid taken out, and we can replace the hormone with hormone supplements, or you can get radiation, and we'll fry the gland in your neck, and then you'll have to have hormone supplements, or we can try medication. And we were pretty distraught about all this, because I was way too young for any of this stuff.
Right.
And, she said to us, we wanted to go home and think about it and do some research, because we're both people who are fans of research. And she actually looked at me and she said, I can't let you leave my office to make a decision, because I'm responsible for you now that I've given you a diagnosis. She said, and she looked at me, I'll never forget this, she said, you are a walking time bomb. She said, if you walk out of my office and you walk down the hallway and you don't make it to the stairs, I'm responsible. She said, and I think that's a legitimate possibility. You need to make a decision now.
Wow.
Yeah. So essentially I wanted to look into holistic options. I at that time even had pretty much lost my faith in Western medicine, although it's good medicine. Please don't misunderstand. I felt that it didn't work so well with my body particularly. So in the end, basically, you know, Western medicine was essentially forced on us. Because I was underage, I was not allowed to opt out of Western medicine at the time. The law has since changed in my state. So I went on to doctor's care, and we decided to do the medication, because at least I could stop that someday.
Right.
And when I turned 18, I decided that I would take my chances. And for my 18th birthday, I quit treatment, and I understood that that was probably not going to be a survival plan, but I felt that going ahead and allowing myself to die would be easier and better for me than continuing the medication, because my life was just such a mess on it. And I got into nutrition at that time, and through nutrition, I got my thyroid under control for about a year and a half. And about a year and a half later, I collapsed again, and things got much worse. And I had severe allergies. I had H1N1, and didn't know it. The medication for the allergies led to kidney and liver problems. I still had all the autoimmune diseases going on. And, I mean, there's a list. It's all on my website. It would be forever to list everything. But what happened was I was expecting to die. And between when I finished my ordination, when I was 18, I had a pretty interesting spiritual experience at my baptism. Which I had denied. It didn't fit with my paradigm of the world at that time, so I had suppressed it, which led to, I had had a very suppressive upbringing as far as the energy work and everything like that, which I was very gifted in from birth up. And by suppressing all that, you know, you cause this buildup of energy and it messes up your body.
Right.
And when I was 20, someone said to me, I had a lot of anxiety issues. I mean, an absurd amount of anxiety issues. And someone said to me, when you meditate, meditate on grounding. And I had never meditated before. And I didn't know what grounding was. And he had mentioned something called a chakra. So I looked up online and I found an online pay what you can, because I was too sick to work at this point. I was making my living doing mostly pen and ink drawings because I didn't want to live off the state. I was afraid that I would start to be, I would lose my sense of personal power if I started to live off of Social Security and things like that. So I started an art business from bed. And I met him at an art show, and I looked up online a pay what you could course on meditating on the chakras, and I paid $1 for it. And I actually later, I found the person that wrote the course, and I gave her more money than that because it was so helpful. But I started this meditation course, and what it did was you start with the root chakra, and every week you went to a new chakra, and then you learned how to do all of them in one meditation. And I had a past life regression the first week. And the next week, my guide showed up. And by the end of this, right?
Yeah, you were on the fast track.
I really was. You know what? There was a backlog. but by the end of the by the end of the second week, I had started to heal. As in, I had been in a medical situation where there were days where I needed help to get to the bathroom and I needed help for people to help me drink out of a cup and things like that. And other days, you wouldn't even know I was sick. I would get up and I would be fine. Except for my lymph system had gotten pretty messed up and my skin had started to fall off and I kind of looked like a leper. But other than that, you wouldn't know anything was wrong. But 2 weeks into meditating, I started to get healthy. I started to feel better. I started to be able to walk. I started to have balance. I started sleeping. My migraines went away. It started to get really interesting when I had endometriosis, which is scar tissue that moves from the uterus to other organs. I had that clear up into my intestines, and that was the first thing I healed, actually. The sonogram showed that my endometriosis is gone, which that's not supposed to medically happen. Right. And actually, at this point, through energy work combined with, I also do herbs and shamanism and a whole bunch of other things. I'm qualified in more than 50 different mind-body, holistic, and regular Western medicine practices. I'm no longer on any kind of medication or any medical treatment, and I test negative for everything. But what got me into shamanism specifically, since that was what sparked your interest in me, my guides, when they showed up, as three half-bird, half-man people, and they were dressed like Native American medicine people. They actually looked like Kashina dolls, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, well, what's that all about, right? And what happened was the one showed up in front of the other two, and he put his hand out to me, and the same person who had encouraged me to meditate had actually said something really negative to me just that morning and said, well, you know, it's all in your head, right? And I'm sitting there. I was kind of like reclining on my bed, looking at this half animal, half human person with his hand out to me. And I was like, oh, what the heck? It's all in my head, right? And I took his hand. And it went downhill very quickly from there. As is fun to do when you start working with your guys. And I actually, because they were dressed in Native American attire, and I had always been drawn to that. My mother used to take me out to Arizona once a year to visit family, and I was allowed to pick one thing to do. And I consistently would choose, I would always choose two things just in case the first thing didn't work out. But the first thing would always be going to Native American something, like an archaeological site or whatever. And my second option would always be something having to do with rocks and minerals and things like that. And I thought, well, you know, they're dressed like this. I should look into that. I should see what's up with that. And I found, I went online and I learned about different things and some of the clothes and the masks, and I figured out who they were, which, I mean, they had told me, but I confirmed it in lore. And then I was still doing the art business, and I was on a networking site for artists, and there was a group that was called, I believe it was called the Red Road Group or something like that. And I honestly can't remember exactly what the name was at that time. It's since changed. But they were a group of traditional Native American artists and medicine people who were trying to keep their traditions alive by sharing them. And it just happened to win an award that month, and I just happened to get an email about it. So I started sitting in and just reading everything for months. I just sat there and I read everything. And I was meditating several hours a day because I was sick. I had the freedom to do that. I didn't have a job. Right. I was teaching part-time on the weekends and online, and that was the best I could do. So I had a lot of time, which I was very lucky. I did literally hours of meditation a day. I started learning journeying. And the funny thing was I started looking back in my journals. I had kept journals from the time I was six on. I still have them, which is useful. And I was able to see all of these different medicine traditions in use in my journals. Now, what was interesting was I had had a not-so-supportive childhood, and I had actually had a lot of association issues. And I didn't remember most of my childhood at that time. So I started to go back, and I started to read my journals with the perspective of energy medicine in mind and shamanism in mind, and I started to learn. My first teachings of shamanism actually came from my journals. And then one of the medicine people in this group contacted me. Now, this is the funny thing. I had never actually participated in a group. I just read everything. He contacted me. He said, I keep seeing you in my dreams, and you have all this energy around you, and I really feel like we should talk. And he was actually my first teacher, and he taught me mostly over the internet, back and forth in private conversation, and also on the phone. He taught me a lot of Cherokee tradition. And then that just snowballed. The next tradition of shamanism I learned was Welsh sin eating, and that expanded into the Celtic tradition. And that expanded into, I went and I learned some of the Lakota ways, and I was actually, I'm learning to do the sweat lodge now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just expanded. I'm also learning at the moment Peruvian plant shamanism, which is fantastic because I'm very particular with plants. I've always experienced plants the same way I experience people. So that's been fantastic to find other people who experience things the way I do.
Right.
But
we're going to be going to a break in a couple of minutes, and I want to make sure people know where to find you online. What's your website?
Okay. The website is RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can just search Rebecca Gamble Holistic Practitioner, and it comes up.
Yep. And Rebecca is spelled slightly differently than some. It's R-E-B.
It is the Hebrew tradition. It's R-E-B-E-K-A-H. Yeah.
Right. Rebecca Gamble Holistic Practitioner.com. Mm-hmm. There are so many questions. Oh, my God.
We could talk for hours. I know.
Well, it's the classic shaman story that somebody contacted you and said, I saw you in my dreams and we got to talk. It's just, I love that.
Exactly. And I had gone through traditional rebirthing processes and near-death experiences and reviving experiences, and the traditional shamanic upbringing I very much so had because of the strict Christian background I had, ironically, combined with my health condition. I had all the traditional shamanic milestones before he even contacted me. So it was really interesting.
Right. You had been through all of those things that would normally have been created in ceremony. And you lived your way through them and didn't have any idea that they were in sequence.
I know. I know. And the irony was the icing on the cake that really made everything fall apart was when I was baptized as a minister, as a Christian minister, when I was 18. I came out of the water and I had all these memories of myself before I was a human, which of course I had to suppress immediately because that didn't fit my paradigm at the time. And that seems to be what really set off a lot of the illnesses. And then when I started healing myself and I started getting healthy again, which I never intended, I never thought that could happen. Right. People wanted to know how I did it. And I thought, I got to get some training. And then it kind of expanded into the medical traditions as well.
Right. Amazing. So much more to talk about after the break. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller, with my guest, Rebecca Gamble, and her incredible story. And we'll also hear about the work that she's doing now here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere.
The forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid. Ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my wonderful guest, Rebecca Gamble, who has an incredible story of how she got here, but you're doing amazing work after all of these things that you've lived through. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Well, I was recently brought on at the Northern Star Academy of Holistic Studies to teach shamanism and holistic practices. I've also had a number of people ask for, I just released a book 2 weeks ago. I've had ask me for one on teaching shamanism and learning it themselves. So I'm working on that. I'm also releasing a new form of energy medicine that I've developed by combining all 50 of the traditions and methods I know in about 6 months. So that's kind of exciting.
Wow.
The new book. We did want to mention the new book.
What's the title of the new book?
The new book is the first book in a 7-book series. It is part of the Talking Stick Diaries series, and it's called Embody Your Power. Now, what these books actually are, they're not books you sit down and read. That's boring. what I've done is, I mentioned that I started meditating, and I was from a very strict fundamentalist Christian background. Fantastic people, but people who do not understand energy medicine and meditation and things like that. And when I started doing this a lot, I started learning, and I started to take those ideas back to my family and tell them, you know, I've had this revelation and I understand this now. And there was a lot of kicking and screaming about that because I had learned it through sitting there quietly and letting myself go quiet. But when I didn't present it that way, when I just said, I learned this, and have you ever thought about that? They started to listen to me and started to apply it in their lives. And I started to see their lives improve too. And it occurred to me, the people who need this the most will never get it because they're afraid of the idea of it being Eastern tradition or being pagan or being whatever. And it really, you know, it's not owned by any one tradition. And a lot of the concepts are not even religious. So what I decided to do was I went through all of my textbooks. I'd had several years of education at this point in the field. And I went through all my client files. I went through all my journals because I wrote every single day, every time I had an experience where I was doing some of my major healing work on myself. And I cataloged the major ideas and the questions and the blocks and the emotional and mental concepts. You know, you referenced hermetics early on in your show. And that was one of the first things I studied, actually, was the four body theory from hermeticism. Mm-hmm. And I approached it with that idea. You know, what emotional aspects, what mental aspects, what spiritual aspects, what physical aspects. And I developed writing prompts for each of the 7 chakras. And then I wrote a book that is nothing but journaling. And what it does is it provides you with prompts. And you sit there and you read it and you think about it and you journal your thoughts. Yep. And what it does is the journaling is done in such a way that you get the same effects in your brain as you do with meditation. And you come up with the same experiences and you do your own healing process. But there's no energy stuff, you know. And actually, the book does not have the word, none of the books have the word chakra in it. It doesn't have, I do use the word manipura in this one. It happens to be on the 3rd chakra. But I actually use the word manipura for one of the prompts and explain what that word is and why I use it. But it's been awesome. It's been out for 2 weeks, and I'm getting people calling me, telling me that this book showed up in their life just at the right time, and they're even improved. Their lives are totally different. And it's just, it's so good to hear that people are getting what they need from something that I was blessed enough to be a part of.
Right.
I also have, now the Talking Stick Diaries was actually an offshoot of something I developed, which is called the Talking Stick Therapies. And what that is, I had written a note on Facebook, on my Facebook page, about putting on 72 pounds in a year, which brings me up to a normal weight. But I was very sick, remember?
Right.
But what it does to you psychologically, as a young woman in America who puts on 72 pounds in a year, there's a lot of processing that has to happen. And I wrote a note about it, and I posted it online. And I got all these emails about people's insecurities with their bodies. People who I've known for a long time who you never knew would have insecurities, who, you know, this one's upset that he's too tall, and that one has always felt like she's carried her weight in the wrong places, and another one thinks her eyes are too big, and beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was, in speaking very genuinely, it allowed people to also be genuine and open and release things that they were not releasing otherwise, that they need someone else to hear. And at the time, I was doing a lot of drum circles. And I developed a system where we get together on a topic, and there's a talking stick. And whoever has the talking
stick... Well, and explain the talking stick for a second, because it's common usage in shamanic circles, literally and figuratively, but not everybody will know.
It is literally a stick. Sometimes we use it, my husband does belly dancing. Sometimes we use one of his staffs. Sometimes we use a literal stick from the woods. I'm actually having a staff made that we're going to use specifically for the circles as I'm doing them more. But you get to express one experience or one feeling while you're holding the talking stick, and then you hand it to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is you get to speak, and we will listen to you, and we will support you. And if you have a lot of emotional whatever to let go of, it's a safe place to let go of that. We have the drums, and when people need support that maybe they don't need us to talk, but they need to feel the community, then we get back to the drumming, and we get back to the music, and we use mm-hmm. rattles and things like that. And we pull everyone back together that way. And then we come kind of out of that a little bit, and maybe I'll say something to get us back on track with the speaking, and the next person gets the talking stick. And I started doing these, and they were a fantastic success. And then I, after talking to my mother and seeing that she was never going to be at something like this, my mother was the inspiration for the books.
Mm.
My mom is a wonderful person. She's very into her faith, and because of that, she doesn't get involved in the things that I do. But she's very spiritual in her own way, but she could also use what I was seeing was happening for all these people. So I really, when I wrote the book, everything I wrote, I would reread it like I was my mother. And if anything was even slightly make someone that strict uncomfortable, I would change it so it would be okay.
Right.
And that was fun.
Well, my heretical point of view about Jesus is that he was a shaman.
I could see where you're coming from with that.
You know, the descriptions of what he did and how he did it would fit shamanism in almost any culture in the world.
I would agree with a lot of that. Now, a lot of the things that we see traditionally with shamanism, he didn't do in the way... And I use the term shaman and shamanism very loosely, only because
right.
that's the one word we use globally. In a lot of the circles I'm involved in, you would be the sin eater, or you would be the old man, or you would be the medicine man, or whatever. And I'm also using man very loosely.
Right.
A lot of the things we see with shamanism, like using rattles, using stones, using dance and shape-shifting, I don't see that so much in his work. But a lot of the way he taught.
Well, but the point of view and the way he did the healings and the
exactly.
way he was in the world,
exactly
you know, the literal translation of the word shaman in the Siberian dialect is something like the one who sees in the dark, or the one that can do things in the
right.
dark, the one who knows.
Right.
So somebody
who I can't help but think.
Can interface with the non-physical and take their knowledge and what they do from something that isn't the appearances of the physical world. I think we just went back to closets here, but I'm not sure.
I can't help but think that when I have this image of this man sitting under a tree or on a mountain with people in front of him talking, that sounds exactly like when I have my students and I teach classes. There's a really nice tree a couple blocks away from my house, and the hill slopes down the hill from the tree, and it's the perfect teaching place. I firmly right. believe in having your supposed teacher, who is learning just as much in those classes as you are, on the same. I believe in having their heads at a similar level to yours. I don't like having them elevated and the other people below them.
Yeah.
And that is just, you can all sit down under the same tree and the acoustics still work because you're still somewhat lower than they are, and you can still see them because you're somewhat lower than they are, but you're all on the same playing field. And that is very similar to, I feel, to how I envision Jesus working.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of what he did and a lot of the concepts he taught, you know, we recognize from earlier medicine traditions that we use now.
Right.
I'm sure you do.
Right. Right. That's why it gets pretty amusing for the people that have only heard his story through the lens of the English translation of the New Testament that they happen to know.
Right.
And if you go back to some of the, you know, the Gospels are the quotations of what he said. If you go back to the earliest translations directly from Aramaic, they sound totally different.
Yes, they do.
it really got messed up when the Greeks got a hold of it. For example, in Aramaic and a couple of the other Middle Eastern languages, there's a tense which is all time simultaneously. It's past, present, and future. And that doesn't exist in Greek, so they had to figure out where to put stuff. And they put it all in the future. They decided it. I don't see it happening now, so it must be, he must be saying it'll happen in the future.
And
he was saying, this is universal, it's happening now, it always happens, it will continue to happen. It changes everything.
And I think, too, we have this idea, and you see this, frankly, a lot more with Western people than you do with people from other countries that I've worked with. I work with Buddhists and monks and things like that, and I work a lot with Hindus and Taoists and all sorts of things. And what you see a lot in the West is this idea that because you have this native practice or this energy practice or this practice you've adapted from another country, you must not be a Christian. And what's really funny is when I bump into Christians from a lot of other countries, they don't always assume that. You don't see that assumption as much. And here, I actually recently had a situation where I listen to a Christian radio station because I like how the music constantly brings your focus back to your relationship with the divine, however you experience that. And she was shocked out of her mind when she got in the car, and I got in and turned the car, and then there was a radio station on. I told her, oh, yeah, I'm a monthly supporter. She was like, what? And I said, well, you know, as a Templar, I'm technically a Christian. And then she really had her mind blown on that one. But
yeah. I want to hear more about the Templars, but one of the things that struck me as I had the opportunity to be with, to pray with Catholics, was that all of the personal rituals in the Catholic tradition are taken directly from Hindu tradition. Saying a short prayer over and over again and counting the number of times you said it with beads.
Yeah.
Lighting candles, you know, sitting in front of the image of saints or other holy people. All of those things are something that's exactly what's done in a Hindu temple.
And when I see things, like right now I'm taking a class on using different symbols from the collective consciousness in ritual. I'm starting to do a lot more rituals for people. And this particular class is they use Wicca as their basis. And the reason they use Wicca is it's a common language. Everyone in the group, no matter what your religion or your background is, we can all speak in one language for this class. And because the teachers who developed it were Wicca, they based it on Wicca. And what's interesting is when I watch most Christian traditions, I see them use the same color coding that the Wiccans use. And I see them use the same symbols. And sometimes the same gestures.
Yeah.
Now, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, so that was even more strict than most things we would consider Christianity. Jehovah's Witnesses are the Bible and nothing but the Bible. So they don't have things like the rosary, you know, and they don't have holidays and all this. All these things that have been adapted have been cleansed away in that faith, which was even more interesting. Because the focus was entirely on, when I was being raised, was entirely on your relationship with God or the divine or whatever, and your personal spiritual development. And really, it was a very rigorous program that really got into your heart condition and what are you really made of? What is your relationship really like? So that was very real for me. pretty much from birth upward. My mother used to play scriptures and spiritual songs in the crib on a tape recorder. So pretty much from birth upward.
So we have a few more minutes, and you have, I don't even know how exactly to put it. You are a member of the Knights Templar and have a healing method that's based on that tradition. And I had not heard that anytime recently. So tell me about that.
Okay. There's only so much I can tell you because I'm on the radio.
I understand. It's a secret tradition.
Right. What a lot of people don't understand about the Templars is they have a tendency to think of them as the military people from back in the day, which, yes, that was the Templars. However, in the modern world, what we see now is different divisions of this organization that when they were dissolved, back in the day, people were dissolved. Basically, we had different parts of that knowledge and understanding that the whole organization had being divided into different groups and then sent to different countries and hidden in the different countries.
Right.
And the healing tradition went to one group, and the spiritual warrior aspect went to another group. So I work with the healing tradition at this time. And I'm actually one of only three people in the United States who's qualified to teach it. And then there's one more guy in Canada, and that's pretty much it for North America. But I'm also starting to get involved with the spiritual warrior tradition, which you might recognize them. They're known as the Gnostics now.
Well,
so basically you go so far with one, and then you have to involve with another branch to go further.
Right, right. And the work that I do is kind of on straddling the line between those two.
Right. And the healing tradition, where that comes from is it comes from centuries of collecting different healing modalities from around the world and combining it into one tradition. And really what I do now with the unified energy therapy that I'm working with, and the trademarks on all these names are pending. But what I'm doing with that is I'm taking everything I've learned. I've studied things like traditional Chinese medicine and applied kinesiology and herbs and yada, yada, yada. More than 50 different disciplines into one discipline so people can understand what they're doing. You know, we tell people, for instance, we give them an attunement and we tell them to drink water afterward. But do you really understand why you tell them to drink water? Most people don't. And that's when you combine all the traditions, things like that become very clear.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very exciting, and I want to hear more, but we're going to run out of time soon, so let's make sure that people know where to find you again. What's the website?
Okay, I am on RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can just search Rebecca Gamble Holistic Practitioner. On the website, you can find a sign-up sheet for a monthly newsletter, and that actually has I spend a little bit of time giving you something to work on in your private practice. The February newsletter comes out on the 1st, actually teaches you how to rewrite some of your subconscious beliefs using affirmations, basically. And then it has updates on what's coming up. I also host at least one practitioner a month in Pittsburgh, where I'm based out of, every month, and I have details on that on the newsletter. So lots of fun stuff.
Very cool. And do you have anything coming up besides the books?
Well, I have a lot of classes coming up in February, but most of them are in Pittsburgh. I will also be going back to Virginia Beach this spring. I go down there pretty frequently, and I'm usually overbooked, but mostly I'm in Pittsburgh, Artemis, Pennsylvania, and Virginia Beach right now. I'm looking to expand more. There's more coming.
Doing things online yet?
I will be in, we're thinking March or April, I will be teaching classes through the Holistic Academy. It's called Northern Star Academy for Holistic Studies. And the first class I'll be teaching on there actually is Shamanism 101, funny enough.
What a surprise.
Right.
Who would have thunk it? Well, so as we're winding down here, what do you want to leave people with? What's the core teaching that you want them to remember?
There are so many one-liners I could give you right now. But I think really what I want people to understand the most is that no matter how far down you get, you can still get back up. And you don't have to give up. If you choose to give up, it's a choice. And there's nothing on the other side of that. You can still get back up and you can still heal yourself. All of my work, I never try to heal people for them. I guide people through their own work. Something very specific for me is I do not just heal people. I teach them how to do it themselves, and then they can give it to other people. You know, there's nothing that happens to you that you can't recover from and be better because it happened. And I think really that's, and you can do it on your own. You are a powerful person, and you can heal yourself, and you can do your own work. And I think that's probably the gist of most of what I'm teaching, at least right now.
Very powerful work.
It is. And you know what? The first book is Embody Your Power. Get back into that situation where you are that powerful person. That book is about developing boundaries and being strong and recognizing who you are, getting your power back, and then embodying it, really getting it where you can feel it in every cell of your being, in your spirit, in that space between your cells. You probably know what I'm talking about. Some people don't. It's that point where you can feel it vibrate all the time, where you can think things and your physical reality changes within an hour. That's where I like to see people, and everyone can be there.
And the first time that kind of stuff happens, you sit there in total amazement and freak out.
No, you deny it and think it's a fluke, you know?
Yeah, that didn't happen, did it? Yeah. Doesn't that happen for you all the time? Yeah. What?
It really does. You know what? I actually have to be careful how I think, because I'll think things just like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, and it happens like 2 days later. I'm actually heading to Peru in May, and then Ireland in spring next year to do shamanic and herbal training. And yep. I had the thought, I said a prayer. I said, you know what, I feel like I need to go to these two countries to do this training, and I don't know of a program that does that, but you can guide me. I'll trust you.
Right, and there it was.
13 hours later, exactly 13 hours later, I got this invite, and they're only doing the program once. You know, you've got to be careful what you even think.
Yeah, I love
it.
See, and my work is in many ways doing that for other people, having that thought of how things can change for other people so that it will change for them.
So get people to the point where they think it and it happens.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on the show. This is so much fun. And as the saying goes, let's do this again sometime. There's so much to talk about.
I would be game for that.
Fantastic. My guest tonight is Rebecca Gamble. You can find her at RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com. And I hope she will be on the show again. And stay on the line so we can talk when we go off the air.
Sure.
And if by chance you've gotten curious about what in the world does this guy David do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a link to my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free consultation to take a look at what's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and how my work might be helpful. So please take advantage of that. If you're curious about the show, and we've been doing this for a ridiculous amount of time, so we've got a lot of shows and interviews in the archive with incredible people. That's one of the things that's wonderful about this show. I get to talk to amazing people. You can find that at thefarkasfiles.com, and that's on empowerradio.com. It's a page on empowerradio.com. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, iTunes podcasts, and probably a bunch I don't even know of. Just search for Empower Radio or the Farkas Files, and we're everywhere, which is very exciting. Every once in a while, I actually hear how many people have listened to us over a period of several months, and I go, really? That's amazing. It's very exciting. So have a wonderful week. I'll hope to hear from you next week on our next show. And this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.